Now we're going to continue our series, The Anointing. Has everybody enjoyed this? Has this been all right? And we're going to continue today. And we've been talking about every believer has an anointing. That there is an anointing upon us that God has placed upon us to serve in His house and to do something that only we can do, and a gifting that He gives us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody say, I'm anointed. Everybody say, I'm powerful. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. And we believe that God takes our natural talents and abilities, and it's almost like they are put in turbo mode, so to speak. Like there's just this anointing empowerment that comes from God to help us do what only He can do by His Spirit. And here's the thing, we are anointed because Jesus was anointed. That as sons and daughters of Jesus, we are anointed, why? Because we're His kids. And I want us to look at this verse in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," this is Jesus speaking, "because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." When Jesus was beginning His ministry, the first thing He said is, I'm anointed. God has part of God's house. That oftentimes it's those who are disadvantaged. It's those who have no other place to turn in life. Why? Because oftentimes when we're our lowest, that's when we're the most open and have the most humility to what God has to offer. And so God has anointed us as Christ's tabernacle to preach the gospel and the good news to the poor. And guess what? When we preach the gospel to the poor, they get rich in Jesus. That's what God's anointed us to do. In other words, He's saying, go out and find the most disadvantaged people in your community. Go and find the lowest people in your community and give them the good news. Why? Because those are the people who need it the most. So God's anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. And then He says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And we talked about this last week, and I don't mean to be redundant, but if you want the anointing of God in your life, go find people that need Jesus. Go find people who are brokenhearted. And when you find those people, guess what will happen? God will anoint you to minister to them. God will anoint you to help them. This week, I want you to focus on people around you and try to go and find the brokenhearted. Try to find those who are hurt by life, who have no other hope. And I talked about this last week, that a lot of times religious people will criticize our church because, you know, they'll let anybody go there. Well, guess what? If you want the anointing, that's the attitude that you have to have. If you look at the people that Jesus reached out to, tax collectors, He reached out to the lowest of the low, prostitutes, drunkards. Why? Because those are the people who are brokenhearted, and those are the people that need the anointing that we have. Somebody say amen. He says to proclaim liberty to the captives, those that are in bondage, those that have been, I believe the King James says, prisoners. And I believe that this is literal and it is spiritual. Just this morning, we had a ministry team at Vandalia Prison preaching to prisoners. And I believe that God's anointing was upon them. Why? Because we're doing the ministry of Jesus. Those that have been imprisoned by past choices, but also spiritual prisoners. Some of you here today, you can probably relate to that you just feel like you're a prisoner and you can't, spiritually speaking, you're in bondage and you can't break out of this cage that Satan has put you in. But I want to tell you that there's anointing in this place today that you don't have to live in that state one more day, because all it takes is one touch of the Holy Spirit in your life to set you free. And our CR ministry, it deals with taking people out of prisons. And then he says to recover the sight of the blind. People that are spiritually, they can't see. They can't see God. And our job is to have the anointing of the Spirit upon us so that we can help people see. Help people see that there's a truth of a man called Jesus, who is completely human, completely God, completely without sin, who died for our sins, who rose on the third day, who ascended into heaven and is coming back with power and authority in his hands. That's the good news. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what the acceptable year of the Lord is right now? In other words, he's saying, God's anointed me to tell people God's kingdom's here and it's now. You don't have to wait 1,000 years. You don't have to wait one more day. You can experience freedom. You can experience happiness. You can experience joy that comes. Why? Because Jesus is the kingdom of God, and wherever Jesus is, that is where he rules and reigns. I want to tell you, Jesus is here today. Jesus is here in his power and in his authority. And I want to tell you, this is a little bit of heaven here today. That when we get together, we lift up the name of Jesus and his Spirit moves in this place. That is where God's kingdom is. And then Peter, in Acts chapter 10, he's preaching to some Gentiles about the truth of Jesus. And he says this. He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How many wants to have an anointing of power? Lord, we need to be delivered from powerless Christians. We need powerful Christians that when we pray, things change. That when we pray for people, things start to happen. We need that anointing. Why? Because that's what Jesus had. He said that he's anointed him with the power who went about what? Doing good. We need an anointing of just going about and doing good. Blessing people. Helping people. Loving people. You know, it's funny, it's not funny, but you know what I'm trying to say here, that they had crucified Jesus and they had to bring trumped up charges because they couldn't really find anything, because all he did was go about bringing good. Wouldn't it be great if the worst thing people could accuse us of was healing people on the Sabbath? We need to be an army of little Jesuses. When we leave this place, just going out doing good, where it's just like the kingdom of God is multiplied when we leave this place. Does anybody want that anointing in your life? And he was anointed by healing all, everybody say all, who were oppressed by the devil. And for God was with him. I want God to be with me. And that's what the anointing is all about, for God to be with you. Why? Because there's going to come times that on our own power, we can't do squat for people unless we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our life. To lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. To help people see that there is a greater way to live than the way they're living. And the anointing always comes through the Holy Spirit. The anointing always comes through the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our life. That's why we have to surrender to that anointing. We have to keep that anointing. And today I kind of want to give us 3 points to kind of build on what we talked about last week. And I kind of use Saul as a negative example of how to misuse the anointing. He lost the power of the anointing in his life because it became all about him. It became all about protecting yesterday's anointing. And I want to contrast him today with David. And David had a fresh anointing in his life throughout his life. He didn't rely on what happened yesterday, but he was always dependent upon God for fresh anointing. And we talked about last week, we want fresh anointing in this church. We don't just want to talk about what God did yesterday and wasn't it great what happened in 1966 and all that stuff. We want to talk about 2017. We want to see great things happen here and now. Come on, somebody. All right, so I want to give us 3 points to have fresh anointing in our life. And number one, anointing is meant to lead to action. Anointing isn't to say, I'm anointed. I'm a Christian. It's not about making proclamations of who we are. It's about action. It's called the book of Acts for a reason. That when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't stay in the upper room and pat each other on the back and, oh, wow, isn't it awesome? Aren't we so special? No, they went out of that place and they immediately started doing stuff, demonstrating the power of God in their life. And the anointing that God has placed in you, and we see this in the life of David, he used it for action. And we can see this in the episode of the battle with Goliath. And Goliath, he came out and what he challenged the armies of Israel every day. Send me a man to fight with. We'll do a one-on-one duel, and whoever wins gets all the marbles. And we see that Saul cowered in fear and would not go out and face Goliath, even though he was anointed. And this is so important. If there's ever a picture of yesterday's anointing, it's Saul in this episode. God had anointed him, and I believe if he would have fought Goliath, I believe it's very possible that he would have won. Why? Because the anointing of God was upon him. But he cowered in fear. And I want us to see what happens. It says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 10, the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and afraid. And I just want greatly afraid. Notice that Saul and the armies of Israel were all afraid. And I just wonder what would have happened if Saul would have let that anointing flow in his life and said, you know what, we're not going to take one person taunting us and keeping us from our destiny any longer. We're going to go out and we're going to take this sucker out. But instead, he sat there in fear and in doubt. And I want to tell you, some of us, God wants to give us great victories in our families. God wants to give us great victories in our church. But all it takes is one person, one loudmouth, one spirit that Satan sends out to intimidate the whole family. And it would go away if one person in the family, one anointed believer, would say, no, we're not going to listen to this. We're not going to cower in fear and doubt. We are going to go forth. Why? Because God's anointed us. God's predestined us for victory. We don't have to listen to the voice of the enemy. Come on, somebody. And I want you to see his reaction contrasted with David's. In verse 26, David arrives on the scene, and like he is immediately wanting to take this guy on. Because that's what anointing does. And verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, David, through his anointing, it was all about what God could do. Not about what this giant could do. And not even necessarily about what he could do. He's saying, who is this non-believer, this non-believing spirit, to keep our entire nation from progressing to our right of this land? And that's the attitude that you have to have as an anointed believer, that God hasn't called us to cower. He hasn't called us to sit on the sideline. He's called us to get in the game and to take on the giants. There's giants that we have yet to defeat, but we're going to take them down. Why? Because the anointing of God is upon me. It's upon you. It's upon this church. And there are greater things that God has called us to do because he has anointed us with the Spirit of the living God. And I said this in week one. I really believe this. I believe the reason that David could approach that giant with confidence was I really believe that he knew that there wasn't a chance. There wasn't a snowball's chance in Hawaii that this uncircumcised, loudmouth, demon-possessed giant was going to take him out. Why? Because there was a day when a man named Samuel anointed him with oil to be the future king of Israel. And he knew without a doubt, my purpose hasn't been fulfilled yet. And I have the anointing of God in my life. And I don't care how big this is. I don't care what the situation looks like. With God's anointing, just give me 5 stones and a slingshot and we'll take this guy out. And I want to tell you, no matter what situation you're facing today, there's nothing that hell can do to you that God won't allow. Why? Because we know that his purpose is working in us. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love Christ. Is that good today? Is that right? Anybody know that to be true? Does anybody know that God won't allow anything to come into our life that isn't meant for our good? And we're not to run away from it, but we're to meet it head on. And we got the anointing of God in our life, and we can do what he's called us to do in this hour. Let's clap our hands and praise God today. How many thankful for the anointing? How many seen the anointing work in your life? And here's what I want to tell us today, that the effectiveness of our anointing is often directly tied to how active we are in God's kingdom. You see, Saul was anointed, but he wasn't effective. Why? Because he was sitting on a sideline, intimidated by one man. But when David showed up, his anointing went to work. And it was activated. Why? Because he was full of faith. And he saw a cause. He saw a reason. That's why I want you to go to that ministry fair next week. Why? Because there's a cause. You have an anointing. And it's not effective if you're not using it. God's called you to be a part of his church. David asked the question. He says, is there not a cause? I want to ask you today, is there not a cause? Is there not people that need to be reached? And the only way they can be reached is if you get in the game and you do it. You get involved. You get a heart for God's church. And David immediately was bothered by what he saw. And fresh anointing is all about this. Fresh anointing doesn't passively accept the plans of the enemy. You can either accept what Satan is trying to do in your life, or you can rise up in faith and say, I'm anointed, and this might be a trial of my life, but I'm going to go down swinging. Why? Because I believe God's for me. God's power is working in me. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul told his apprentice Timothy, he says, therefore I remind you, everybody say, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has what? Not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what a sound mind. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Timothy, you're anointed. There's things within you. God's given you gifts. God has confirmed things in you. But it's not going to be effective if you don't stir it up. In other words, you know, it's like a fire. You can get a nice fire in the backyard. But every now and then, you got to stir it up. You got to throw on some new logs. You got to, you know, fan the flames a little bit. Why? Because it's going to die out. Because you got to keep things stirring. And it's the same way with the anointing of God in our life. We got to keep it stirred up. We got to pray that God gives us fresh vision. That God gives us new favor in our life. That God gives us passion. And fresh anointing only comes through stirring. We see in the life of David, he kept that stirred up. There was always something, a cause for God that he was always pushing towards. And I read this prayer that someone wrote about fresh anointing, and I want to share it with you because I thought it was so good. And it said this, Lord, stir me. Everybody say, Lord, stir me. Take me to another place. Don't let me become stagnant. Don't let me live on yesterday's grace and yesterday's victory. Today is a new day. There are new people I am going to encounter. Stir the compassion in my heart. Give me eyes to see people the way you see them. Don't let me be afraid of people's faces. You are alive inside of me. You gave me your Holy Spirit. You left me on this earth for a purpose. So help me lay hold of the reason I am alive for this generation. Isn't that good? I might post that somewhere on Facebook so you can read that. And in other words, what it's saying is, God, don't let me go back to yesterday's anointing and yesterday's power and yesterday's testimony. But God, create new stories of your power in my life. Give me fresh anointing. Give me fresh power. God, help me to live for today. Don't let me live in yesterday, but God, help me live in today's anointing. Why? Because today has new challenges that must have fresh anointing. So the first thing that we have to do is that we have to let our anointing lead us to action. The second thing that the anointing does is the anointing honors others who are anointed. The anointing honors others who are anointed. You see, in the life of David, he was anointed, and then he had to live under that anointing without coming to the stage. Then he kind of comes to the stage with Goliath, and what we would think was a tremendous victory for him, in a lot of ways, was the beginning of the greatest trial of his life. Because when he came back to Jerusalem with the head of Goliath, people started to say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. And something happened in the heart of Saul where he let David become his enemy. And he chased David, he pursued David, and tried to kill him. Why? Because he was protecting yesterday's anointing. But we see something in David in this trial of his life. He's running from Saul. He's running from his life, literally living in caves. And he refused to attack Saul back. He refused to kill him, even though he had the chance. And we see this episode where Saul, he comes into a cave and he's looking for David. And not to be crude, but he was using the restroom. And David sees this and he has the chance to take him out. Now, I want you to think about what was happening here. David could look at it this way. Is this is God delivering him in my hand so that I can reach my destiny? And he cuts the corner of Saul's robe as a little message. And I want us to see what 1 Samuel 24 says. Verse 5, it says, and afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing that he is the Lord's anointed. So David persuaded his men with those words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And so Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. David's men were encouraging him, hey, take him out. This is God. This is God giving you a chance to reach your destiny. And notice what David says. He says, God forbid that I touch the Lord's anointed. Because here's what David understood. That if he attacked Saul and if he killed Saul, he would become Saul. Because he understood this principle is that only God can anoint people and only God can promote people. And it's not my job and it's not your job to judge the Lord's anointed. Only God can do that. Now, I'm not saying that we close our eyes to abuses that can happen in ministry sometime. I'm not saying that ministers are beyond confrontation and reproach. But there's a whole different story when you start to attack the Lord's anointed and personally go after them and their families. You know why? Because anointing respects anointing. And if you want to have God's anointing on your life, you need to respect other people who are anointed above you. You see, there are people within this church that God has anointed to be overseers of our church. There are people that God has anointed above me in organizational leadership that I have to be accountable to. And then there's people who are over them. And when we step out of the flow of anointing, we open ourselves up to destruction. And that's what Saul did. Saul, he took the anointing as a badge to do whatever he wanted to do. But when we're anointed by God, we have to realize that we have to be accountable. And so that's why we have to be accountable to our pastors. We have to be accountable to those in spiritual leadership. And those in spiritual leadership need to be accountable also. Why? Because the anointing flows down. And if you cannot live in subjection, and if you cannot live under authority, the anointing of God is going to leave your life. The power of the anointing will leave your life. Why? Because God cannot trust you. And I say this often. If you cannot live in subjection in this church, and if you can't submit to this authority, you need to find a church where you can. And I really mean that. Not only for my good, but for your good. Why? Because we all need authority in our life. We all need subjection. And God has anointed certain people to lead. God has anointed certain people to have authority. And so David understood that if he really wanted God's anointing in his life, he was going to have to submit to Saul, even though Saul was going to kill him. What does that mean? That means this, that my time will come if I just stay under authority. That if I do what God's called me to do and if I'm obedient, God will promote me. David understood that promotion could not come through his own manipulation and devices. And I love what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 26. David's men were telling him, "You're crazy. This guy's trying to kill you. Don't you know what this guy's guilty of?" And I want you to see what David said. He said, "As the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but take now the spear that is in his hand and the jar of water and let us go." Here's what he's saying is this. God will deal with him. God will judge him. And if there's people who are misusing the anointing that God has placed in their life, God will deal with them. You know, there's a lot of ministers, there's a lot of preachers, and through the age from like the 1980s onward, people don't have a lot of respect for ministry anymore because of certain scandals that have happened. But I want to tell you this. You need to take confidence in the ministry of this church. You need to take confidence in the leadership of this church. And we are accountable to God. And if we need to be dealt with, God will deal with us. But you have to, and I'm saying this out of love, you have to be subjected to the anointing. Why? Because the anointing flows downward. And I want to show you a scripture that we often don't associate with this verse, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says this. He says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God." What's he saying? He's saying anointing flows downward. Everybody has to live under the anointing that God has given them and the head that God has placed over them. The head of Christ is God. What does that mean? As a man, Jesus had to live under the power of the Father. Right? And we see this. He says, "These works that I do not do on my own. But it's the Father." In other words, that the God nature in him, the man nature, had to be submitted to the God nature. And so even he had to live under anointing. And then Paul goes on to say that the head of every woman is man. And that doesn't mean that men are abusive. That doesn't mean that women can't make personal decisions. It means that in the structure of a home, somebody has to be accountable for the direction of that home. And scripturally speaking, it is the man. And we have to live under the anointing that God has placed in us. We have to answer to the structure that God has placed. And he says, the head of every man is what? Christ. You see how this works? And when we get out of alignment, when we get out of the anointing that God has placed us in, and we try to rule over things that God has never called us to rule over, bad things start to happen. And so I'm going to submit to you today that if you want the anointing of God working powerfully in your life, you have to be submitted to that which is over you. And here's what I found, that even when I don't agree, even when I don't like what maybe someone over me has told me to do, when I'm obedient and I say, "Lord, if they're wrong, you deal with them," that God's anointing comes upon me in a more powerful way. And the reason David could have a powerful anointing in his life and why we talk about him and we don't talk about Saul is that he understood this concept, is that God will promote me and God will use me as he sees fit. And it's not up to me to manipulate circumstances. It's not up to me to try to promote myself, but it's all about living under the anointing of God in my life. Does anybody want that? Does anybody want to have a teachable spirit? Does anybody want to have that type of anointing in your life? Well, that doesn't make a shout, but it's still true. All right, the third point is this. The anointing will follow repentance. the anointing will follow repentance. You see, for as great as David was, matter of fact, what's the word of God say? He was a man after God's own heart. As great as he was, he had some character flaws, didn't he? And if we would talk to some people who were living during his reign, and we would talk about, oh, David's this, David's that, great David. David, man of God's own heart. Some of them would say, oh, really? We think he's a slime ball. Because David, he started to get some Saul-like tendencies in his life. And it goes back to point one. You see, there was this time where the kings went out to battle. And that was David's anointing, was to go out into battle, to lead his nation. And one year he said, you know what? I think I'm just going to stay back. You guys go out and fight. I'm just going to hang out here in Jerusalem. And it's when he wasn't living in his anointing. Remember point one, he was passive. And he's out on the rooftop of his house and he sees a woman bathing. And lust builds in his heart. And they commit adultery. And he has to cover up what happened. And so he sends out this woman's husband into fierce battle, puts him on the front lines, basically has him murdered in an indirect way. Wow, let's think about that for a second. If you were to just not to know the names and someone were to tell you that story, and they would ask you true or false, is this a person after God's own heart? Someone who steals another man's wife and has him murdered to cover it up. Yeah, not my type of hero. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being judgmental here. Doesn't sound like a great person to me. Not a big fan of murders. That's who David was. That's what happened. But I want to show you the difference between David and Saul. Difference between yesterday's anointing and fresh anointing was this. David had an open heart for people over him to say, you're wrong. You need to repent. And there was this prophet named Nathan who came and confronted him. And he says this in 2 Samuel 12. He says, you are the man. Thus says the Lord of God of Israel. I anointed you king of Israel and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and you gave the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Now read that, because Nathan didn't pull any punches. It's like David. First of all, Nathan told him a little parable of someone who stole and did what David did, basically committed murder. And David reacted with anger. He said, that person should be put to death. And Nathan responded with, you're the guy. You're the guy in the story. You're the person that's messed up. You've done evil. God has blessed you beyond recognition. But yet you have done this evil in his sight. And I want you to see what David does. He doesn't get defensive. David doesn't say to Nathan, don't you know who I am? I'm the Lord's anointed. Nobody can tell me I'm wrong. Nobody can tell me what I've done wrong. He responds in verse 13. He says this. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And this is why God was with David. Is that when he missed the mark, he always repented. He always turned back to God. And if you want a fresh anointing in your life, you have to be willing to constantly and to live a lifestyle of repentance. Why? Because we all need to repent. It doesn't matter how anointed you get in your life. That doesn't excuse you from repentance. That doesn't excuse you from a personal walk with God. And one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is found in Psalm 51. And this is David's repentance before God. And I just want to challenge you. Sometime this week, read all of Psalm 51. And I would say that every so often, you need to pray Psalm 51 in your life. And this is what it says: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." Notice he didn't say my mistakes, my regrettable errors. That's what we say now, right? Nobody likes to talk about sin. Nobody wants to use the S word. But David puts it out there plain as can be, and he says, "Forgive me of my sin." He says, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." And then in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." You know, I read a story about a young man who graduated from seminary, and his father was a pastor. And I believe 25 people graduated as a part of his class in seminary. And his dad pulled him aside, and he said, "I want you to look around." Everybody focus right now. He said, "I want you to look around." He says, "In 30 years, only 5 of these guys will still be in ministry." And this man was writing this article, and he said, "I looked back, and he was right." You know, the reason wasn't that God hadn't called all 25 of them. The problem was this: somewhere along the way, they lost that fresh anointing. Somewhere along the way, they forgot that just because you're anointed, just because you're gifted, doesn't mean you stop being a Christian. You stop living a lifestyle of repentance. And I want to challenge us today. I want to challenge myself today as I want the anointing of God in my life. But even more than that, I want to know who Jesus is. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and his sufferings. I want to know him personally. And I love what David says: "Lord, do not take your spirit from me." God, don't ever let me drift away from conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let me get too far to hear that still small voice saying to repent. And that's what happened to Saul. It didn't happen in one day. It was a series of events where he very slowly walked away from the voice of God. And he was anointed, but he was deceived. He was anointed, but he died lost. And I don't want that for anybody here today. I want us to have a fresh, passionate experience with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've maybe walked away, maybe you're here today and you're just honest with yourself and you're not where you should be. Maybe you've had an experience with God in the past. Maybe you've known what it's like to come to an altar and experience the power of God in your life for tears to come down your face. You know what it's like when you had a passion for the things of God and for the heart of God. You just wanted to know who Jesus was. You didn't care what it needed to be done in the church. If they needed people to scrub toilets, you would show up, scrub toilets. But over time, we take the Spirit of God for granted, don't we? We take the anointing of God for granted, and it just kind of becomes a job, like Saul. And our hearts get hard. You know, I think of Samson. Boy, if there was anybody anointed, it was Samson, wasn't it? God anointed him to do incredible things. If you read the things Samson did, supernatural things that were physically impossible. But somewhere, Samson confused anointing with God's validation, and he got sidetracked. We all probably have heard the story. And he told Delilah the secret of his anointing. And he lost it. If you're here today, maybe you feel like you've lost it. If you're honest with yourself, you've lost that power you used to have with God. You used to have a powerful prayer life, but somewhere along the way, you just lost it. You used to have a passion for God's house, but somewhere you lost it. Like Samson. And the Philistines, they took him and they made sport of him. And they gouged his eyes out and they tied him up in their temple. But here's the thing. Samson had one more prayer in him. And this was it. God, give me that anointing one more time. God, I know I've walked away. God, I know I'm not where I should be. But God, if you anoint me one more time, I'm going to do what you've called me to do, and I want to finish strong. And you know what? God anointed Samson, and he brought down that temple, and God used him one more time. And matter of fact, he's in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because he finished strong. And I want to tell somebody here today, you might not be where God wants you to be, but God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with the anointing he put in your life. Just because you walked away doesn't mean that God's removed the promises. It doesn't mean that God doesn't still love you. Can we all stand at this place right now? Let's lift up our hands all over this place. Let's reach out to him. Can we do that right now? God's testing our hearts right now. Some of you here today, you can either have the spirit of Saul or you can have the spirit of David. You can continue doing things your way and doing things you want to do. Or you can say, God, I surrender. God, I give you my life. God, I want to live a life that has a fresh anointing for today's challenges. God, I want to be used by you. Oh, come on, young people, respond today. Does any young people want to have a fresh anointing in your life? Some of you, you've just gotten busy and you've gotten distracted with the things of life. I want to tell you, God's not done with you. You need to get in the game. You need to get off the sidelines. Why? Because you need to stir up that anointing. It's still there. God hasn't taken his anointing. It's still there. He just wants you to activate it. Does anybody want to be a powerful part of the kingdom of God? Does anybody want to be used by God? The greatest revival we've ever seen in history is yet to happen. And I want to be a part of it. I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. Does anybody believe that today? Let's close those eyes. Let's lift up those hands. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to all repent today. I don't care who you are today. You need to repent. Repent means to turn back towards God. Some of us, we've gotten hard-hearted. Some of us have forgotten what God's done for us. So with every eye closed, why don't you just pray this prayer with me in your own words? God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. Lord, I acknowledge, God, I haven't lived the way you want me to live. I haven't done what you've wanted me to do. I'm not where I need to be, but God, I'm still on the journey. God, I pray if there's anybody here today that they feel like they're too far, Lord, I pray they would pray that prayer Samson prayed and say, God, give me just one more chance. God, just use me one more time. God, stir up the anointing on every person that's in this place today, God. I pray, Lord, give us a spirit of David, Lord, that would return to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we just put a hand on the shoulder of the person next to us right now? Why don't we pray?